ॐ अज्ञानतिरान्धस्य
तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः
श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टम् स्थापितम् येन भूतले स्वयम् रूपा कदा मह्यम् ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् मद्देहम् श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलम् श्रीगुरुम् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपम् साग्रजातम् सहगन रघुनाथम् वितम् तम् सजीवम् साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् परिजन सहितम् कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्ता राधा कान्ता नमोऽस्तुते सप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गे राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी समानुसुते देवी नमामि हरिप्रिये नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णा प्रेमा प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरे त्रिषे नमः वाञ्छा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च नाम पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णाप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनि नाम्ने देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधरा श्रीवासवि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम राम हरे हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, who has opened my eyes which were blinded by the darkness of ignorance with the torchlight of knowledge. Venerable Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet. Jai Sri Rupa Goswami Prabhupada ki. यत्कीर्तनम् यत्स्मरणम् यदीक्षणम् यद्वन्दनम् यत् श्रवणम् यदारहणम् लोकस्य सद्यो विदुनोति कमसम् तस्मै सुभद्राश्रवसे नमो नमः
Actually, in just 5 minutes all of us can learn this verse. Because yet goes all the way. All we have to do is remember first, what do we remember? Kirtanam. Then next, Smaranam. Then next, Eekshanam. It's long Eekshanam. So Eekshanam is audience. Then next line, first line is done already. Now next line, all we have to do is remember first, Vandanam. And after Vandanam, Shravanam. And then last, Arhanam. Now, the two lines we know. Now the effect of the two lines are given. Lokasya means all the worlds. Vidunoti, Lokasya Sadhyo. Sadhyo means immediately, forthwith. Vidunoti Kalmasam. Kalmasam means sins. Vidunoti means all washed away. And the end is the end. Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namaha is what he is chanting throughout his prayers. So that means we are invoking the auspicious quality that is non-different from Krishna. Like this, actually by the end of this, we should all be able to chant this verse. And we should keep this verse. Because this verse is very, very important for us to realize the essence of devotional service and the process of devotional service. This verse holds special significance for myself also, as well as Radhika, because this was the verse that Guru Maharaj took as a class on the day of our initiation. And in this verse, Maharaj gave us this very nice way to remember the different process. You just take glorification. That is the first word. Glorification means G. Next you take remembrance, you take R. So you remember remembrance. Then you take audience, and that becomes A. Then after that you take prayers, and it is P. And then you take hearing, and it is H. G-R-A-P-H is graph. So this is our graph. Graph means very easy to remember, it's a graph. Now what graph it is? It is graph W. Because W is worship. So if you just remember graph W, and you remember all the initials, then immediately the verse is with you then. It is glorification, then immediately after glorification comes remembrance, and then audience, and then prayers, and then hearing, and then followed by worship. And if you have graph W, then lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasam. Then very quickly with this graph, the sins get washed away. And this is why we pay obeisances to Krishna, because he is all auspicious, he is Subhadra. Nobody has this quality of washing away the sins in us as only Krishna can have. And that is the end of the verse. This is the beauty of the verse. Like that, we should study Bhagavatam very carefully. We should take out the essence of each line and write them down. No study of Bhagavatam is complete without your notebooks. Until you have notebooks to study and write, Bhagavatam just comes in and it comes out. Because the truth of the matter is, even when you all study for exams, the truth is we all have to write notes. Unless you are really, really in the cream of the cream of the cream of intelligence where everything is photographic, you must write notes. You must write notes. So notes is very important for study. If we really want to be serious, if we don't want to be once a week Bhagavatam devotees, if we want to be daily Bhagavatam devotees, then have one separate book for Bhagavatam, one separate book for Bhagavad Gita, and a third book for all verses to be learned. In the first book for Bhagavatam, daily you read one verse of Bhagavatam, and you dissect each line. As you read the synonyms, you read the translation, read the Sanskrit, and then read the purport. From the translation, you should take out what are the main points. There may be 2 points in both the first two lines and the next two lines. Write them down. Then after that, read the purport. There will be some parts of the purport that will touch your heart. These purports, Guru Maharaj says, is meant for you. This is Prabhupada speaking from his purport. Each one of us will have a verse ready for us in Bhagavatam. That verse is for us and for us alone. When that verse jumps out at us, we have to write the verse down. Study the verse, practice the verse, and contemplate on the verse. So like that, you have written down the main points for that particular verse. Then you find another nice verse that you like to remember. Write in your third book where the verse is. Daily if you do this, then you will find that at the end of the day when you have written, it only takes 15-10 minutes before you go to work. So after writing down the notes, then take the notes with you to work. As you are in the bus, read them. And you find that for the whole day, you are contemplating on the verse. And by the end of the day, the verse is with you. In the times of distress, in the times of joy, in the times of difficulties, in the times of reversals, these verses will come by Krishna's mercy to our hearts and to our minds. And by proper use of intelligence, these verses will save us from calamities. This is how Bhagavatam comes alive. Otherwise, Bhagavatam is dead. We just read it and we move on. And we read so many other books except Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. And we keep giving the excuses that no, these are very big books. We have to be on a certain level to read the big books. But the big books are the purifiers. Why to go elsewhere? This is the point we should remember. Please take every verse of Bhagavatam seriously and Bhagavatam becomes alive. If you don't approach Bhagavatam, which is non-different from Krishna, in a serious, submissive fashion, and really make the effort to study and learn lovingly, Bhagavatam will remain elusive. Bhagavatam will come, Bhagavatam will go. Because we have not had the seriousness to study Bhagavatam. So this verse tells us how to come out of the platform of these sinful reactions of our life. This verse also tells us how important it is to follow the process of the devotional service. Prabhupada gave maybe one or two lectures on this verse, but they are gems that we should study. Prabhupada started on this verse, even in the purport, by saying that before speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, the speaker, Shukadeva Goswami, he started actually by first of all offering obeisances to Krishna. Tasmai Subhadra Shravase Namo Namaha. So he's offering obeisances to Krishna over and over again. Why? Because only Krishna has all auspiciousness. That is why he is known as Subhadra. If we don't get this point, then we will never have faith in what comes from Krishna. So this point first we must remember. The next point we should remember is this, that Prabhupada makes it a point to tell us that Shukadeva Goswami is telling us that simply by hearing about Krishna, simply by invoking Krishna, all sinful activities get washed from our hearts. This is the effect of just glorification of the Lord. So the entire Bhagavatam, Prabhupada tells us, is actually glorification of Krishna. This entire Bhagavatam is all only aimed towards one thing, to glorify Krishna. The moment we understand the glorification of Krishna is found in Bhagavatam, then we will come to the understanding that the whole Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. If we ever think how to glorify Krishna, then we must accept Bhagavatam. If we don't accept Bhagavatam, we have missed the point of glorification. This is the first point that we must understand. Now, Shukadeva Goswami has given us the process. He has started by using the word Kirtanam. And Kirtanam simply means glorification of Krishna. We must understand one thing, Prabhu said, Mataji. The aim of our spiritual life is not factually to just cleanse the sins from our hearts. Cleansing of sins may be helpful, but when they are replaced by more sins, what is the point of the cleansing? So this is the point we must understand. The aim of our life is actually to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The aim of us coming here today is not to do anything else except glorify Krishna. Just by hearing about Krishna submissively, we are already glorifying Him. The reason why we come to the temple is not for any other purpose. Sometimes we come because we think, I feel very sad at home, I want association. Association is needed, no doubt. But if we come here just because one devotee is coming, and we forget that we are supposed to glorify the Lord, we have missed the point. If we come here because prasadam is very nice, which is 90% of the reason why we all came in the first place. But even then, we should understand that prasadam is not the reason why we are here. If we come here because we think we can give nice class, or we can give nice singing, or we should just mark up our attendance, or because we want to be in some social gathering, or because we want to find some nice wife, or some nice husband, then we are really, really trying very hard, no doubt, but all these activities are not the aim of the devotional service. Krishna may reciprocate, but after that, there is no satisfaction in our hearts. As I told you before, many years ago, one Prabhu came to the congregation, and I asked him, Prabhu, you are coming very regularly. Is there something about the devotional service that attracts you? And he says, actually, the real reason I'm coming, he was very frank, is because I want to find a nice Mataji to get married to. So I said, alright. He said, this is the best place to find Matajis, because here the Matajis are all very decent, they are not going to the pubs, and they are definitely Vedic. So where else to find? He was being very honest, you know. So then after Krishna fulfilled his heart, because one Mataji happened to be in the congregation who was searching for a Prabhu also. See how Krishna arranged. So the Mataji and the Prabhu one day, by Krishna's arrangement, met in the same temples. And after that, they asked for blessings of the devotees and all, that they would get married. And after they got married, we never saw them again. That was the end of it. We never saw them again. So I asked Maharaj, you know, why this happened? Because it seemed very auspicious. But Guru Maharaj told me, the auspiciousness people don't realize is there not because you're going to get married, or you have family, or you have children, but because we are glorifying Krishna. Up to the point we glorify Krishna, we are very happy. But if we come here for any other reason besides glorification of Krishna, Krishna is so kind, ye yata mam prapatyante tam sataiva bhajami aham. He will reciprocate with you. You want nice wife, you take nice wife. But you don't want bhakti, you please go. So this is how sometimes we leave devotional service. But we leave with the favorable arguments. We say, actually, I left for these reasons. This devotee was not nice. This atmosphere was not there. Kirtan was not good. You know, people were not smiling to me. But these are all reasons that we think was the reason for us to leave. But the real reason, Bhagavatam says, is because we don't glorify Krishna. If we really glorify Krishna, then not only will we be on the weekend fired up, but from Monday to Friday we will be very fired up wherever we are. Because the devotee's business is only this, to glorify Krishna. That's why Prabhu said, Mataji, we must come out of this mentality that if we come to the temple congregation is fired up if there are 100 devotees. If there is 2 devotees, no fire. Whether there are 2 devotees or 100 devotees or 1,000 devotees, our business is to look at their lordships, glorify them, and become peaceful in that glorification. The devotee who does that can continue devotional service continuously, whether he is at home, whether he is in a difficult surrounding, whether he is in the office, or whether he is in a temple. Otherwise, what will happen is, we get to the point where we need all these conditions for bhakti. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then I can chant my rounds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then I can sing very nicely. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then only I am feeling like a devotee. But no. Devotional service, glorification of Krishna is unconditional. It cannot and should not depend on any circumstance in this world. This is the true meaning of Kirtanam. Kirtanam, as stated in the purport, is so wide. That is why Shukadev Goswami says Kirtanam is first. Because Kirtanam covers all aspects. We all know that there are 9 links of devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj has made it very clear to us. Right? There is hearing. There is, what else? There is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, then Pada Sevanam. That is what? Pada Sevanam is actually service at the lotus feet of Krishna. Then? I'm not hearing those. Archanam. What is Archanam? Archanam is worship to the deity. Then? Vandanam. What is Vandanam? Offering choice prayers to the deity. Then? Dasyam, becoming servant to the Lord. Then Sakyam, being accepting Krishna as best friend. Not that you become Krishna's best friend, but accepting Krishna as your best friend. There is a difference. There is a difference. And then last, Atmanivedanam. Atmanivedanam means surrender of mind, body, and everything that we have to Krishna. So these 9 limbs of devotional service, Prahlad Maharaj has made it very clear in Bhagavatam. And these 9 limbs of devotional service are all encompassed in Kirtanam. Kirtanam just doesn't mean today we stand up and do Kirtan. Prabhupada makes it clear here that it encompasses remembering Krishna. When you remember Krishna, you're doing Kirtan. When you glorify Krishna, you do Kirtan. When you visit temples to see Krishna and take darshan, you do Kirtan. So Kirtanam is the first step for a devotee. If we miss this first baby step, then the reason for us coming to the temple, the reason for us coming to the program will be missed. And that's how sometimes we feel, why I'm not enthusiastic in devotional service. Is there some reason? The reason is, we are thinking that we are coming for ourselves, but we should come to glorify Krishna. That is the key. And the moment anyone uses their words, mind, body, actions to glorify Krishna, that place immediately becomes sanctified. What's that verse? Prabhu, 1.5.10 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nayad vachas chitrapadam hare yasho jagat pravikna pradanita karyache tadvayasam titam ushanti manasaha nayatrahamsa niramanti usikshayaha. 1.5.10 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very important verse for us to remember. The translation is very nice. Narada Muni says, those words, right, that alone can say, that alone speak about, that describe the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those words are so powerful. What do? They actually sanctify the whole universe. Not only Gopal's restaurant, but the whole universe. By speaking about Bhagavatam here, by chanting Bhagavatam, whole Serangoon Road is purified. Whole universe is purified. The only difference is whether you believe it or not. For one who has conviction, he becomes fired up in devotional service. For one who says, cannot be, we're just chanting here, even Krishnadanabhu downstairs cannot hear us. Then the faith is gone. Glorification is down. So one who understands and accepts that definitely when you chant Krishna's name, whole universe is sanctified, he is the proper recipient for the glorification of the Lord. This point we should understand. And Krishna is not just any personality in this universe. Do you know, Prabhu said, Mataji, that in the pages of Bhagavatam, particularly in Gajendra's prayers, Gajendra chanted almost 54 to 55 prayers in his prayers of surrender. When he was stuck in the clutches of the crocodile for 1,000 years, he tried and tried so many ways to come out of it. He tried using all his endeavor, nothing happened. His wives waited, but after a while they said, what's the point of waiting for you, husband? You know, it's like you are in jail, how long can I wait for you? I have to go on with my life. My children are depending on me. I need a new husband. So like that the wives left. The father, the little children also left because they said, father, if mother goes, I have to go. All the great generals of Gajendra, they also helped to pull him out from the clutches, but they could not. And in the end, after all the extraneous efforts on Gajendra and the elephant's part, nothing happened. And he was getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And at the end of that, by Krishna's mercy, because of his previous life of piety as Indrajumna Maharaj, because he was a devotee, Krishna allowed him to remember prayers, arhanam, prayers. And when he remembered these choice prayers, he began chanting them. Can you imagine an elephant chanting 55 wonderful prayers that today even living beings like us are learning? And he chanted these prayers. In these prayers, not one mention of Krishna is there. All the prayers speak about the personality of Godhead, that most supreme absolute truth. It describes all the qualities of this supreme personality of Godhead. At the end of the prayers, Gajendra stopped and he waited because he had glorified the supreme personality of Godhead. The demigods, none of them came. Because they all decided, oh, after 55 prayers, none of them actually fit us. We are not qualified enough to fit the prayers that Gajendra said. And only one personality turned up to save him. And he was the one who actually fits all the prayers for proper glorification. And who is that? None other than Lord Krishna. So that is why we must understand, Kirtanam Prabhupada says, is not for anyone except Krishna. There is no such thing as any other person's kirtanam. You may glorify so many people. We may even glorify the devotees of the Lord. That the Lord becomes very happy. But the reason why we glorify the devotees of the Lord is because they are devotees of the Lord. The root cause of that is still the Lord. If we miss that point, we have missed again the point of glorification. So the next time practically, if we come to the temple, the next time we wake up in the morning for Mangala Arati, and we know what a terrible tapas that is, isn't it? Huh? I don't know how it is in other countries, but in Singapore, Mangala Arati is very difficult. Many other countries, we have Mangala Arati Club, you know. In Rajkot, we do also. We have 5-10 devotees calling each other up over and over and over until you want to break the phone or you want to bang the alarm clock so that you finally wake up for Mangala Arati and do it at home. Because it's very nice for us to sit here and speak about Mangala Arati. The true test is when you go home on a Monday, tomorrow morning when you wake up for Mangala Arati, if we can wake up and glorify Krishna, that Mangala Arati is really Mangal. Mangal means auspicious. Mangal means Subhadra. If we get up in the morning because we want others to glorify us because I can wake up for Mangala Arati, then that is our Mangala Arati. Right? So then we have missed the point. So when we come to temple, the mood of a devotee, when we do any reading, chanting, any activity, we must question ourselves only one. Why am I performing this activity? Whether we are distributing books, whether we are serving prasadam, please always bear in mind what the acharyas tell us. Kirtanam. We are doing this to glorify Krishna, not to glorify ourselves. It is very easy to say, but it is very difficult to practice. But we must try and help each other to keep this mood in mind, that constantly when we perform the devotional service, the only object of glorification is Krishna. When we have that mood, we guarantee you, Prabhu's Mataji, from the pages of Bhagavatam, you will never be anxious in the execution of your devotional service. You will be self-situated wherever you are, because you know that wherever you are, Krishna can give you the opportunity to glorify Him. That's all. We become very peaceful. Atmaram, we become very peaceful. We don't hanker. Otherwise we hanker for fame. We hanker for prestige. We hanker for recognition. We hanker for a good pat on our back. All these things are there because we have missed Kirtanam. So this is a point we should remember. The second is equally important. Prabhupada gives the example in this lecture. Supposing we go 2 hours out and do nice kirtan, right? And then we come back and we are jumping up and down and dancing ecstatically. Prabhupada asks the question in his lecture, what is the meaning of this? What have we done? Prabhupada says, what we have done is to smaranam. We have done all this to remember Krishna. When we chant, we don't try and remember, oh, how am I singing? This is a tune. This is how I'm pulling. This is my voice today. This is nice kirtan. No, we are supposed to remember Krishna when we chant. Sometimes in ecstasy when we do nice kirtan, we are jumping up and down and doing fancy moves. But in the fancy moves and in the up and down, are we remembering Krishna? If we are really remembering Krishna, then Krishna becomes pleased. He may give you more fancy moves. But if we are not remembering Krishna, then what happens is, it just becomes self-glorification. See, I'm the best dancer. Look at my moves. Look at how we are dancing. We look like a fired-up congregation. But it may be because all this time we were dancing in the pubs. Now we can't dance in the pub. At least dance here. That is good, no doubt, because at least you're dancing before Krishna. But how long we are going to remain in that position? How long? Because that won't cleanse our hearts. That will just make us bring our material baggage into a spiritual surrounding. And we will couch it so it looks very nice. But inside, it may be rotting. This is why we don't want to do the devotional service in an egocentric fashion. But it should be Krishna-centric fashion. That we dance for the pleasure of the Lord. We should keep this in mind when doing kirtan. We should keep this in mind when singing. When we keep this in mind, just watch. This is guaranteed from Bhagavatam. Your devotional service will automatically become fixed and you will be automatically more blissful when we dance or when we sing for Krishna. This is the mood of a devotee. And this is the reason why smaranam is very important. If we go and do book distribution, Suren Prabhu is doing some wonderful work in book distribution. And every time he writes his postings, you find what is running through is always seeking the mercy of the Lord. Seeking the mercy of the Lord. Hoping that this pleases Guru. Hoping that this pleases the Lord. This is the mood of a devotee. Why? Because we are always remembering who we are. We are just servants of the servants. And we are here just to remember Krishna. And how to remember Krishna if you remember yourself all the time? Isn't it? So that is why as devotees, when we come to the temple, whenever we engage in devotional service, put Krishna in the center. Everything becomes very nice. And even if nothing becomes nice, even if there are reversals, that is also Krishna's mercy. It is also Krishna's mercy. So that is smaranam, the remembrance of the Lord. But remembrance of the Lord comes on the platform of kirtanam. If you glorify Krishna, Krishna gives you ability to remember Him. If you glorify yourself, Krishna will say Hari Bol, and you can continue to glorify yourself. This is the difference we must remember. The next point is also very important, and that is Vandanam. No, is it Vandanam or is it? No, it's Ikshanam. Ikshanam. Ikshanam, Prabhu's Mataji, is different from the word Pashyam. In Bhagavatam, you find sometimes the word Pashyati or Pashyam is used. But when you use Ikshanam, it invariably must refer to audience of only one Supreme Personality, and that is Krishna. And Ikshanam here is so nice. It doesn't mean darshan. Prabhupada has translated the synonym to mean audience. When you have audience with someone, what does it mean? It actually means that you are actually in the presence of that person. Isn't it? Literally in the physical presence of that person. So here it is stated that we can have audience of the Lord. But how? Because Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the devotees need not be disappointed in the physical absence of the Lord. We may say Krishna was here before Kali Yuga, but now he's not here. But here, Prabhupada and Shukadeva Goswami are telling us, no, you can take physical, you can actually take audience of Krishna. But how must you do it is very important. The way to take audience of Krishna, the way to see Krishna, is first of all to have the spiritual vision. To have spiritual vision means that our eyes must be anointed with love of Krishna. Prabhupada uses another word. Maybe love is very high for us, but he uses another way. No, not Prabhupada. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, in his purport to this verse of Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena, he says there, use the word, that if a devotee cherishes the audience with Krishna, then he is able to see Krishna. Then it is not Pashyam anymore, it is Ikshana. See the word cherish. You know, in material life, we all cherish something, isn't it? Each one of us will cherish someone. If there's a little baby coming to the house, how much we cherish the little baby. Our wife has newly come, how much we cherish the wife. I use the word new, because after a while, you know, the cherishing goes down. In the material world, everything goes down. Deterioration is the only consistent factor in this world. Nothing else goes up except deterioration. Right? Everything else goes down. So in this world, when you first get married, wife is in the sky, you are in the sky. But after a while, you're both very much on the ground. When the child comes, you both go again up in the sky. Then after 10 years, when you've had enough of them, another 20 years, when they have really flattened you, everything goes down. This is not Ikshanam. This is just Pashyam. But when we cherish something which is devotional, which is Krishna, which is the devotees, and when we seek to glorify someone because we cherish, when we seek to glorify Krishna because we cherish Him, that mood of cherishing will grant us the Ikshanam of the Lord. It will grant us the Ikshanam of the Lord. So this point we must not forget, that when we want to take association of Krishna through Ikshanam, we must do so, but not in a take it for granted fashion. Now how many times, how many years we have seen these deity pictures? But every time when we see them, do we accord them proper cherishing from our hearts? Very often we may just take it for granted. When that taking for granted starts, the audience is lost. We may see our deities day in, day out. And after a while we become familiar. Oh, they are my deities. Because of me they are waking up. Because of me they are getting 3 times, you know, daily prasadam. And when that happens, where is the cherishing? How do we take audience then? Then when we are in difficulty, we don't turn to the deities. We turn to the material solutions for the material problems. Last, after everything is gone, oh Gonitai, oh Radha Krishna, please help me. I've tried everything, but now you are my only hope. This is very bad prayer. The first prayer should be, you are my only hope, therefore I start with you only, and I end with you only. This is mood of devotee. So cherishing must come from the heart. It must. And it is again on the platform of glorification of the Lord. Prabhupada in his lecture says that in Calcutta there is some square, you know, and there is a statue, he says, of this Asutosh Mukherjee, some famous personality in Calcutta. He says once a year some cleaners will come and they will clean Asutosh Mukherjee very well. Why? Because for the whole year, 364 days, the pigeons are sitting on Mukherjee and they are giving him darshan, they are taking darshan. They are also giving prasadam in the form of stool. Bird droppings are dropping all the time on his head, on his shoulders, on his feet. Then once a year some big VIPs are to come and garland him. So that time the municipal people quickly get the cleaners and they quickly get them to clean. They clean all the stool and the droppings and whatever mud and rain and slime and grime off Mukherjee. And after that Mukherjee looks very nice for one day. And then the mayor and I'll come, they put nice garland, and then the next day the birds come. And there we go again for the process. So Prabhupada says, how can this be cherishing? Do we do this to our deities? We don't leave the deity for 1 year and then come back. Deities in Krishna consciousness are not statues. They are alive to us. They are more than us alive. We are dead, but they are alive because they are transcendental. But we cannot see them until and unless we assume transcendental contact lenses. And that lenses can only come when you cherish Krishna. And that cherishing will come when we start changing our thinking that we are here to glorify ourselves. But if we come to glorify Krishna, then everything we see is Krishna. Everything we see is an opportunity to glorify Krishna. As Prabhuji said yesterday, the jnani sees, this is not, this is not, this is not, this is not. This is Maya, this is Maya, this is Maya. But the devotee sees, this is an opportunity to glorify Krishna. This is an opportunity to glorify Krishna. This we can do so that people come to know about Krishna. That is the mood of a devotee. And he becomes completely free, automatic, by-product. Lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasam. This is only byproduct of devotional service. The real product is bhakti. This lokasya sadyo, immediately the sins just get washed. This we must remember. Now after smaranam and ichanam, there is a nice point here. Oh yes, the other point I remember, because ichanam deals also with deity worship. When you take audience of the Lord, you are seeing Krishna, and that means you must worship Him with all your heart. Prabhupada makes a nice point there, Prabhu and Mataji. He says that when we see the deities, our mood should be, look how wonderful Radharani looks. Look how wonderful Krishna looks. Never we should have the examiner's eye. The examiner's eye means, okay, I've got my checklist. Shringara, 2 upon 10. Deity color, 3 upon 10. You know, the way the dress is made, 5 upon 10. Overall, fail. This kind of thinking is not Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit means to examine. But Parikshit didn't do this. Parikshit Maharaj, when he came out of the womb, he was examining every corner for where Krishna is. We are examining every corner for the faults, not for Krishna. That's why my Guru Maharaj always says that when you do nice shringar for the deities, please don't think that the shringar that you are doing for the deities is making the deities more beautiful. It is the deities who are making the shringar beautiful. Because deities by themselves are self-sufficient. Sometimes we go to devotees' houses where they are very simple, out of love, they may offer some very simple shringar. But if we think shringar must be very elaborate, 1 leg, 2 leg, 3 leg, then only it is nice, then we have missed the point. The point is how, in what mood that devotee has given. So really, if we want to have each shringar of the deity, we must have this mood of always seeking to glorify Krishna. Wherever we see Krishna, we must have this mood. Krishna is so beautiful. So beautiful. Once we have this thinking in our hearts and our minds, then everything that we see becomes very sweet. Even if it is reversals, we also see the hand of Krishna. This is how deity worship can actually help us with our difficulties in life. Because we see Krishna. Because we start seeing Him favorably. That's the word Prabhupada uses. Favorably, not unfavorably. Kamsa had so much audience of Krishna, isn't it? How much audience he had? Duryodhana and the gang of Kauravas, 18 days of war, all they saw was Krishna. Duryodhana could go from one camp to the other camp and take audience of Krishna. But was it audience? No, it wasn't audience. It was filled with envy. It was filled with hatred. It was filled with, I want to put down Krishna. So that kind of mentality doesn't bring about ichanam. It cannot. Ichanam can only come when one is submissive to Krishna. The next that is very nicely stated here is vandanam and arhanam. Vandanam and arhanam are two very important points in devotional service. And here we find arhanam is related to worshipping the Lord. Vandanam is offering prayers to Krishna. Prabhupada writes in the purport very nicely. He makes a very bold statement here. And in the lecture, Prabhupada actually says this. He says, I consider, and very seldom Prabhupada used the word I, but in the lecture he says that. He says, I consider the Muslims and the Christians to be devotees of the Lord because they are also offering prayers to Krishna. They are offering prayers to God. It may be impersonal, but they are also attempting to offer prayers. And Prabhupada writes, he goes on to say, supposing a child, at the beginning, he only knows A, B, C, D. He doesn't know anything else. Still, it is our duty to encourage the child to continue studying. as he studies, that child may have capacity to one day become a great scholar. So in the same way, Prabhupada is telling us, when it comes to Vandanam, when it comes to Arhanam, we should always encourage and not discourage. We should always remember that anyone, be they a Muslim or a Christian or whatever denomination they may be, if they are trying to offer prayers to the Supreme, even if the prayers may not be based on scriptures, but if they are attempting to, they may be only up to the level of the transcendental platform of impersonal realization. Still, Prabhupada says, we should not put them down. We should still consider them, and this is a very strong statement. Prabhupada says we consider them Vaishnavas because they are trying to offer prayers. The act of offering prayers means that you are submitting to a higher being. Otherwise, why would you offer prayers to anyone? Does anyone offer prayers to each other? You never offer prayers to your friend. You never say, sit down now, I want to offer prayers to you. No. You say, I pray for you. That's what you say. Don't worry. You're so rascal, you don't know. I'll pray for you. This is our mood. But when we offer prayers to someone, he must be supreme. So this mood of offering prayer is appreciated by the Vaishnava Acharyas. And then Prabhupada writes, someday the pious devotee who comes to Krishna may be out of so many different reasons, but if he starts to learn the shlokas and if he offers prayers from shlokas, then the day may come when he will become a pure devotee of Lord. See how nice this is. That's why Prabhu's Mataji's, my humble request to you is, please always learn some prayers from Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita. This is not because we are pandits, but because through the prayers, we can feelingly offer our love and our devotional attitude to Krishna. And in the difficulty and the difficult times, it is my experience that that is the time when Krishna will pop up a prayer in your head that will save you from the calamity, that will save your mind from undue anxiety, from difficulties, and make you fixed in the devotional service. Krishna never lets down a devotee who works hard to remember Him and glorify Him. So if we work hard for Krishna, Krishna sees our mood, He will definitely reciprocate. This is Vandanam and this is Arhanam. And the gopis are the best in this mood. Why? Because the gopis tell us, I can't remember, I know it's in 10th canto, 31st chapter, Songs of the Gopis. I can't remember which verse it is, but it is very nicely stated. Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kavitiriditam kalmasapaham shravanamangalam srimadatatam bhuvivanantiye bhuridekjanaha tavakatamritam tapta jivanam kavitiriditam kalmasapaham shravanamangalam srimadatatam bhuvivanantiye. So here the gopis sing very nicely. They say, Lord, anything related to your tava katha, anything related to your pastimes, your activities, they are actually amrit. They are nectarian. They are mangal. They are all auspicious. They wash away all sins in your heart. And they fix you up in the devotional service. And not only do they purify those who are being purified, but those who are speaking them, how munificent they must be. Because by spreading the glories of the Lord, by spreading the glories of the Lord, the whole universe is becoming sanctified. So this point we must never forget, that our only business is to glorify Krishna. If we can just glorify Krishna, that will be the end and the beginning and the perfection of our existence. But to glorify someone, you need to know something about the person, isn't it? How can you keep saying, I want to glorify him? Okay, how do you glorify him? You have to perform an activity. That is why Vandanam, Arhanam, Smaranam, and now coming to the most important, the basis of all, and that is Shravanam. Only when we adopt knowing about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, and then remembering about Krishna, then only we can glorify Krishna. Otherwise it is not possible. That's why towards the end of the purport, Prabhupada writes, the key to the purification is actually the hearing process. The moment we are hearing submissively and attentively to Krishna and His message through the lips of anyone who is trying sincerely to glorify Krishna, who is bona fide, who is trying to follow the orders of the parampara, that hearing becomes completely powerful. Not only does it cleanse the heart of the performer, but definitely without doubt, it will increase the level of the devotional service in the heart of the person. That is why Prabhupada says here that the devotees do not have to be disappointed by the physical absence of the Lord. You don't have to be. Why? Because Bhagavatam tells us in 3.9.6 and 3.9.11 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Yetu Tvadiya Charanambuja Kosha Gandham Jigrante Karna Vivareshu Sudivata Neetam Bhaktya Grahita Charana Paraya Chatesham Napai Sinat Vidayam Buruha Swapunsam. Brahmaji, who is the creator of this entire material universe, he is the authority, and he chants to Krishna this point. He says, Krishna, those who are devotees, who have accepted you in your heart and who perform the devotional service, they can do one thing. Just by hearing about you through the lips of the devotees and by hearing through the words and the air of Vedic sound, Sruti, what happens to them? They can actually smell the aroma of the lotus feet where Tulsi Maharani is adorning your lotus feet. Just see the power of hearing. By hearing, we can smell Krishna's lotus feet. We may think, this is not possible. Just to give some added effect, you know, that's why this verse is there. You know, just to show us the importance of hearing, that's why, you know, Brahmaji is just exaggerating a little bit, you know. But if we do that, then we have lost the point. Then we lack the faith. The truth is, by hearing, we can smell Krishna's lotus feet. And then in 3.9.11, he goes on, Ye no, Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hitsaroja Ashe Supikshita Pato Nanunata Pumsam. These two lines are important. Why? Because in these two lines, Brahmaji unequivocally says that, Lord, those who are 100% engaged in your devotional service, they have capacity to actually take darshan of your lotus feet. They see. How do they see? They see it through their ears. By hearing about Krishna, you take audience of the Lord. How does it work? Simple. By hearing about Krishna submissively, your heart becomes cleansed. When your heart becomes cleansed, your eyes are anointed with love. When your eyes are anointed with love, when you see Krishna, it is no longer Pashyam. It is Ikshanam. It becomes audience. But this cannot happen until you start hearing about Krishna. Isn't it true even with those whom we love in this material world? Just think about it. If you were to love someone, most of the time you love someone because you hear something about them first. Then your attraction increases for them. After so much attraction is there, then you see them. And then everything falls in place. Even in the pastimes of the Lord, many devotees just heard about the Lord. Gopis lived in separation for years, just smaranam, remembering the activities of the Lord and hearing from each other about the pastimes of the Lord. And just by hearing, they took more darshan of the Lord than Kamsa and all his company combined. And more than even all the devotees of the world combined, because their ras is the highest and they are the topmost devotees of the Lord. And yet, they hardly saw Krishna. If you think about in terms, the gopis only saw Krishna when he was young. Then for years they were separated. At Kurukshetra for a while, they saw him again. And again they were separated. Whatever we may say about Krishna being in Vrindavan or being in Dwarka, the point still remains that by remembrance of the Lord through the years of Shruti, by the pages of Bhagavatam, we can take darshan of Krishna. That is why we must study and we must hear Bhagavatam. That is why you are here, not to hear me, but to hear Bhagavatam. and unknown to you, whether you accept it or not, this Bhagavatam is purifying us. Ase Sutikshita Pato. It is purifying us through the ears. And when the ears is purified, the eyes become purified. Then the smelling becomes purified. Then the senses become purified. Then we can perform nice seva for Krishna. Otherwise, if on the basis of transcendental knowledge, if we don't know why we are doing devotional service, we cannot last in devotional service for long. We will seek self-glorification. And then after a while, we will get tired of the congregation. He's not giving me chance to speak. I want to do more seva. I'm not getting more seva. All that is not the reason. The seva is merely to glorify Krishna. You just glorify Krishna and be situated where you are. And that is enough for the devotional service. So hearing is very important. And how to achieve this? Prabhupada says here that the attitude of faith is needed. What is the word Prabhupada uses? He uses the word definitely. One will definitely, he says, he will definitely be able to take darshan of the Lord. He will definitely be able to advance in devotional service. Because that is the only way he can grow. Narada Muni asked Krishna once, Krishna, where do you stay? Is there some contact address, some email address, you know, some mobile phone that you have, you know? Because I went to Vaikuntha and you were not there. I went to see the yogis, you were not there. I went to Vrindavan Dham, you were not there. I went to this earth, you were not there. So where were you? I could not find you. And Krishna said, Naham Tishtami Vaikunthe. This is in Padma Purana. He says, I am not in Vaikuntha. Krishna is not in Vaikuntha. Then he goes on to say, Yoginam Vidyeshuva. I am not in the hearts of the yogis either. So he's not in the hearts of the yogis. Okay, we accept. Tatra Tishtami Narada. I am only in one place, Narada. And that is Yatra Gayanti Madbhaktaha. Yatra Gayanti Madbhaktaha. I am not in Vaikuntha Loka. I am not in the heart of the yogis. I remain where my glory, where my devotees glorify me. And how do they glorify me? They glorify me by glorifying my name, my form, my qualities, and my transcendental pastimes. So if you really want a straightforward local call to Krishna, you just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And it's definitely local. Because it's immediate. That's the word that Shukadeva Goswami uses. Sadyoho. Immediately. Immediately this culture of knowledge is established in the heart. How? On the basis of glorification of the Lord. By following the footsteps of the Acharyas like Shukadeva Goswami. Only two things we have to avoid if we want to really glorify Krishna. And that is the most important point in this verse. Because now we know the plus. We must also avoid the pitfalls, as Prabhupada says. And the two pitfalls are, first, Prabhupada says very nicely, please don't concoct any forms of bhakti. This is a very important line he states in his purport. One should not concoct the devotional service. Concoction comes, Prabhus and Matajis, when we don't want to glorify Krishna. But we want devotional service to suit our lifestyle. Then we concoct. We speculate. Then we think, no, devotional service should be this way and it should be that way. But when you ask someone, he has no spiritual basis. I don't know how to stress this point more, but it is a danger for even practicing devotees. Because at some point, the tendency to concoct something is very strong. Sometimes we even concoct what the spiritual master is telling us and we interpret it based on what we want. Sometimes a devotee says something and we say, yes, 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 yes. But we are accepting it in the way that suits us. That is concocting. Supposing we tell everyone, please read Bhagavatam. That's a general statement all Acharyas tell us. Now what happens is, we go and read every other book except Bhagavatam. That is concoction. That is concoction. With all due respect to everyone and everybody, the point that we must remember is, how are we going to advance in spiritual life if we don't read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita and if we don't read Prabhupada's Bhagavatam? We may have so many books around us which deal with the topics of Krishna consciousness, but they are not primary material. This is the point we should understand. Prabhupada gave us small books of lectures. They are priceless. You know why? Because every lecture of Prabhupada, every essay and article that Prabhupada wrote in these books are non-different from what is found in Bhagavatam. Non-different. That's why the small books are dynamites. They are dynamites. But how long are we going to remain in the small books? And how long are we going to wait before we start serious study of Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita? This is very important. If we conduct a straw poll now and ask devotees seriously, how is our reading? This is the real point where a devotee will stand or fall. Because we may concoct that at this moment I don't have time to read, therefore I can't read. We may concoct, I don't have enough time because sometimes, you know, my work is like that, so my chanting is going on. But chanting is going on. But what about reading? Isn't reading also something that Prabhupada told us to do? He gave us 2 hours a day of reading actually. Prabhupada spent most of his life for Bhagavatam and for Bhagavad Gita. Until and unless we fix up our Bhagavad Gita study and our Bhagavatam study daily, my experience is our devotional service will either slide, glide, or shoot straight down. Or we will be in a plateau stage where we will just get stuck and we will never move. We will never have this spirit of enthusiasm in devotional service. And if we were to tell ourselves 5 years later, Prabhu, when I'm a bit more retired, I'll do it. Haribol, that will never happen. Why? Because you never retire. That's the truth. You can't retire. Until your death, the truth is you always have to be physically active. There'll always be something going on. This man was sitting on the shores, you know, he was waiting there. Some children were playing in the waters. All day they played. When they came out, the man was still sitting at the shore. So they asked him, Uncle, why are you sitting? What are you waiting for? He said, I'm waiting to go into the water. What are you waiting for? You can just go in now. I'm waiting for the waves to stop moving. Then I'll go in the water. Man, the waves will never stop. Your activities in the material world will never cease. So when are we going to change? When are we going to put number one priority when we wake up in the morning chanting Mangala Arati, read one shloka, write, study, come back in the night, read one more shloka, morning Bhagavatam, night Bhagavad Gita. This will keep us steady in the devotional service. Because transcendental knowledge will keep our chanting very, very powerful. Chanting fixed in transcendental knowledge will keep our reading very firm. They are two pillars of our devotional service. And because both are non-different from Krishna, we require both to keep us afloat. That is why we sincerely urge devotees, don't make Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam class a festival. Don't make it a ceremony. Please don't make it a ritual. Today we should go back and change our lifestyle if we have not changed already. And if we have not changed, now we must change for Krishna. Not for me, not for you, but for Krishna. That is what will please our acharyas. We have lost faith in the second verse of the first canto in the first chapter. Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Maha. No, what is the. No, I'm thinking. Sorry, who? Ah, yes. Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam Vasava Atra Vastu Sivadam Tapatrayam Mudanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite Kimva Parayishwarah Sadyo Hiddhi Avaruddhate Atta Kritibihi Shushrubihi Tachana. This is the verse that we must never forget. In this verse, the whole key to devotional service and glorification of Lord is there. Here, Vyasa Bhagavan has made it very simple. He says that if you reject all fruitive intentions, that means you cannot glorify Krishna if you have fruitive intentions. If you have fruitive intentions, you are not with Krishna. Then Bhagavatam is close to you. It is close. All the reasons you give for opening up, not opening up Bhagavatam is only on the basis of one thing. There is still fruitive intentions in our hearts. That's why we don't want to study Bhagavatam. It's a matter of whether we want to accept it or we don't want to. That is the reason. There is no other reason than this reason. Because Sukadeva Goswami is saying that. Then he says, where is the need for any other scripture apart from Srimad Bhagavatam? This Srimad Bhagavatam is complete. It is complete. So why we delay the study of Bhagavatam? Why? Sometimes this internet also is a very difficult tool. Devotees, I find, very often get distracted by articles in the internet which don't have root in Bhagavatam. But they just write about topics here and there without reference to Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. And what happens is we believe that we are fixed in glorifying Krishna, but because the real truth is we just love to serve the net. We can't come out of the net, so we need to find something to justify us to go through the net. But Bhagavatam is Bhagavatam. There is nothing to do with the net. I remember what Radhanath Maharaj said. WWW. What is that? World Wide Web. A web means you are entangled. Look at the other word. Internet. What is net? Net means you are entangled. So this web and this net, they're actually telling us indirectly, you come to me and you get entangled. But Bhagavatam doesn't have a net. Bhagavatam doesn't have a web. The only net Bhagavatam is safety net. It is your net that will save you from these onslaughts of material life. But still we miss. We don't want to glorify Krishna. We still want to glorify our senses. We want to please ourselves. Please, this must change. If this serious study is not picked up, I may repeat this ad nauseam, but until this is not picked up, we will still go back home and still be in anxiety, still be in difficulty and wonder, why is this all happening to me? And it just hit us. Yat kirtanam, yat swaranam, yat ikshanam, yat vandanam, yat shravanam, yat arhanam, lokasya sadhyo vidunoti kalmasam, tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. So the conclusion to this is very simple. Kunti Mata in 1836 tells us about the hearing process. Shranavanti gayanti grananti avikshnashah smaranti vandan smaranti nandanti tavihitam janah ta eva pashyanti achirena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam padambujam. This verse goes hand in hand with this verse. Whenever we study these two verses together, we become convinced of the process of devotional service. Because in that verse, very nicely, Kunti Mata is saying, those who continuously, the word is continuously, hear, chant and repeat the Lord's transcendental activities. Or, if they can't chant, read the Lord's transcendental activities, nandanti, at least take pleasure in others doing so. Sometimes we have this problem also. If I glorify, only I should glorify. Somebody glorifies, I don't like. I won't hear. You know, we don't want to hear. Somebody reading Kirtan, I read Kirtan, I'm very, very high. This taking pleasure in others doing so is really the characteristic of devotee. But that doesn't mean also we don't read. Prabhu, I don't want to read. You know why? You are reading, right? I'm taking full pleasure knowing that you are reading. That's enough, Prabhu. This nandanti is not nandanti. This nandanti is in the association of devotees. How sweet, how nice, how beautiful Krishna is. This is nandanti. So those who glorify, those who hear, those who chant the transcendental activities of Krishna or take pleasure in others doing so, they certainly see your lotus feet. There you are. Bhagavatam has said it. They see your lotus feet. But the qualification is continuous. We can't have it on Saturday, Sunday, Monday to Friday we die. Saturday, Sunday we are alive. Monday to Friday we are dead. Saturday, Sunday we are alive. No, it's continuous. It's continuous. Is it difficult? Of course it's difficult. Why is it difficult? Because we're not doing it Monday to Friday. If we do it Monday to Friday, it becomes manageable. But that also is up to Krishna. If you want to glorify Him, be prepared for sacrifice, Prabhu said Mataji. Whoever thinks devotional service is a walk in the park will get a slap in the face. That is devotional service. Real devotional service doesn't mean I get married and I leave, or have nice prasadam and go home. Real devotional service is how much are you willing to sacrifice for Krishna and Guru so that you can glorify the Lord. That is the only question a devotee has to ask from this verse. The more he is prepared to glorify Krishna, automatically the more he must sacrifice. And the more he is ready to sacrifice, the more lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasam, the effects of sin go. But the devotee is not bothered with that, because he wants tasmai, right? Subhadra shravase namo namaha. He wants to offer dandavats to Krishna, because Krishna alone is auspicious. This is mood of devotee. And all our acharyas showed us, they showed us this. And how did they show us? Kunti Mata says, those who see your lotus feet, they never repeat their birth and death. You see? But that's not what we want again. We only want to be able to glorify Krishna. Glorify Krishna. All nine processes of devotional service are equally potent. They are all equally potent. But even Prabhupada writes in the purports that the hearing process will be the jump start to all devotional service. If you make your hearing process perfect, then the second pitfall will be avoided. The first pitfall is to concoct. Don't concoct. We will not concoct Prabhus and Matajis if we do only one thing, if we remember one point. And that one point is very important for our devotional service and our survival as devotees. 10.1.4 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nivritta tarshe upadiyahana bhavau shodachat chotra mano bihama. Ka uttama shloka gunanuvada puman virejita vinapasudna nivritta tarshay upadiyamana. This is the verse that is important. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sugadeva Goswami tells us, must be done in parampara. This is how we avoid concocting. And what does it mean to be done in parampara? It means when you want to glorify Krishna, you make sure that you seek the permission and the direction of your senior acharyas, spiritual master, under proper spiritual guidance. If you are following Prabhupada, even if you are not initiated, we can still be in parampara. Just follow Prabhupada 100%. If Prabhupada in his lecture says you are not this body, you repeat what Prabhupada said. That's all. You don't have to speak about gopis, ras lila, that is concoction. How many lectures of Prabhupada handle gopis and ras lila? You go through the whole gamut of lectures, hardly there is anything. Because Prabhupada knew we can't even come out of we are not this body, and here we are thinking of the gopis. This is concoction. Otherwise, what happened, my Guru Maharaj says, you'll end up wearing saris and hugging trees in Singapore. And that is very dangerous. Very dangerous. So this is where we have to be very careful. If Prabhupada had given us simple lectures, it is for a reason. Because we haven't learned what he has given us. Instead, our mind says, no, we have to go somewhere deeper. 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 There is nothing deeper than what the Acharya has given you. If you accept Prabhupada as your final Acharya, then what else can be more deeper than what he has given? That's all. That's enough. That is sufficient. As is Srimad Bhagavatam, it is sufficient to bring us back to Krishna. But no, again we want to find, maybe there's something else that tells us about Bhagavatam. There's nothing to tell about Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is Bhagavatam. It's telling itself. We don't have to go anywhere else. This is very important, because if this mood seeps into a congregation, then the whole devotional platform becomes very shaky. Very, very shaky. And then we are tottering in our devotional service. And that must be avoided. Please stick to the basics. Because basics we haven't got right. Our garden is not in order. We look at other people's garden and say, Prabhu, what's wrong with your garden, man? They are laughing at us because our garden is not in order. So we must be very careful here. That's why Nivirtata Shesh Upadhiya Mana. Please go in Parampara to glorify Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami advises us. When you do that, he says, then there is proper glorification. And when that proper glorification is done, that can only be done from guru to disciple. That's what Prabhupada writes here by spiritual guidance. Once we get the mercy of guru who is in parampara, then he will guide us and he will show us the way. Then all we have to do is just 10% follow him submissively. And all sinful effects automatically go, and we will be given a chance by Guru to glorify Krishna. Otherwise, it is very difficult. And Shukadeva Goswami says, this is Bhavav Aushada. Aushada means medicine. Bhava means the highest. This is the highest medicine for this age. Glorification of Krishna is the highest medicine for this age. That's why, as Prabhuji said yesterday also, when two devotees come together, find a way to find and do some service for Krishna. Discuss service. When you discuss service for Krishna, you are automatically glorifying him. If you can't discuss service, that only shows one thing. There's no service. Then go and do some service. Then you glorify Krishna. Or if you have read something about Krishna, some nice praise there, share it with the devotees. Let's see after this. In just 10-15 minutes when we serve prasadam, let's take a litmus test. Right? Let's sit down and ask ourselves. Don't ask anyone else. Huh? Don't point finger at anyone else. Just ask yourself or hear yourself what you are going to speak for 15 minutes when you are having prasadam. And if nothing else to speak, if supposing there is nothing else to speak, then please honor prasadam. The meaning of honor prasadam is to keep quiet and remember this prasadam is coming from Krishna. There is also glorification. If you can speak about Krishna, please speak. If you can speak about something to do with Krishna, speak. If you can't, please honor prasadam. That is very important. This is a practical point that we must learn. Otherwise, how long are we going to tell ourselves, I'll just remain on this platform? How long? There must be a break. There must be a time when we really desire to take audience of Krishna. Then Krishna says, the last few weeks this person's desire rate has gone up. So now I will reciprocate accordingly. I will help him. This is Krishna. This is how Krishna is. See, at the end of the day, all nine processes were perfected by nine personalities. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, very nicely, we learn from Shukadeva Goswami that for every nine steps of devotional service, every personality who took one step perfected it. You take hearing, and who was the perfectionist of hearing? Parikshit Maharaj. How did Parikshit Maharaj hear? Submissively. He heard submissively. He did not say, I'm king. Shukadeva Goswami, now sit down here. I hire you for 7 days. Chant now very nicely. Have some background singing and all. I want nice professional recital. Then when the snake bird comes, you know, then we'll try and see what we can do with it. No. He just heard. He was king. But he was examining where Krishna was. When you examine where Krishna is, you will hear very attentively. You will hear. Otherwise, you look here, you look there, you watch. This is a sign that we are not attentive. It is a sign we are not attentive. Second, who was the perfect reciter? Shukadeva Goswami. What was Shukadeva Goswami's qualification? Did he want to glorify himself? No. He only wanted to glorify Krishna. So what did he do? He submitted to what Krishna's message was. Not his message. He didn't come to Parikshit Maharaj and say, look here now, I have this message, right? And I'm going to tell you about it. No. He just repeated what he had heard. And he had heard from Parampara, from his father. And that goes on all the way up to Krishna. So that is the perfection of that limb. Now the next limb, remembrance of the Lord. Who was the perfectionist in remembering the Lord? Prahlad Maharaj. And how did Prahlad Maharaj remember Krishna? He remembered him as Narsingadev, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, throughout the trials and tribulations that his father Hiranyakashipu inflicted on him. No matter how much Hiranyakashipu got him to say, Om Hiranyakshaya Namaha, he never said that. He said, Om Narayana Namaha. This we have seen recently, isn't it? We had Gopal's Garden children. They learned that point. Why? Prahlad Maharaj survived all the reversals of his life by remembering Krishna. That's a message for us. We may not have Hiranyakashipus around us, we may ourselves be Hiranyakashipus, but the point remains, the reversals of life will always come. The point is, are we remembering Krishna? And Bhagavatam tells us the best way to remember Krishna is to remember Him favorably. If you remember him, Hiranyakashipu remember Krishna very much, mind you. I think he competed with Prahlad Maharaj on the basis of who remembered more. But his remembrance was, I want to kill him. That was his remembrance. Prahlad Maharaj was, I want to submit to him. So again, there is submission. Then who is the fourth person? The fourth person is Mother Lakshmi. Right? She actually dedicated her whole life towards serving the lotus feet of Krishna. And what did she do there? She is known, Guru Maharaj says that Lakshmi ji in this particular instance, Sastras tell us, is known as Ananya Bhakti. Ananya Bhakti means, Ananya means without deviation. And Bhakti means Bhakti. So one who wants to serve the lotus feet of the Lord is undeviated. Have you ever seen any episode where Lakshmi ji is not massaging the lotus feet of Lord in his form as Vishnu? Never. Eternally, that is her service. Always she's just massaging. She never says, Lord, too many yugas have gone, I need a break, my hand is pain, give me a 10 minute break, you know, I'll take a coffee break, a tea break, I'll come back. No! Lakshmi ji is constantly going. How? Guru Maharaj told me one thing for this initiation lecture. He said that if you want to attain the platform of Ananya Bhakti, you must be constantly submissive. The moment you are not submissive, you cannot hold anybody's feet. In the first place, you will never hold anyone's feet unless you are submissive. And what to speak of holding somebody's feet for the rest of your life? That requires the greatest level of submission. So this is the mood that Lakshmi ji has. Now the next person is Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj perfected devotional service by deity worship, Arhanam. And by doing so, how did he do so? He did that without deviation. Bhagavatam tells us in the fourth canto that his deity worship was so elaborate, yet in all fields of his existence he was perfectly executing his kingly duties also. How is that possible? Because he submitted to the deity of the Lord, and the deity of the Lord, he prayed, can do with him as he wants. 4.20.31 of Srimad Bhagavatam is a prayer we should always remember. Tvanmaya yada jana isha kandito yat anyada shasharita mano buddha yatachare balahitam pita swayam. Last line I forget. Tatvam ka evam arhati na samihitum. It's a very beautiful verse. Because Prithu Maharaj prays. He says, O Lord, he's praying to deity, you know. He says, O Lord, because of my fault, I have been separated from you all these lives because of my forgetfulness. But now, kindly bestow on me only one favor. I ask that I do not ask anything from you. That I do not want anything from you. Instead, you decide to give me what you want. Just like a father understands the demands of the son, even without the son opening his mouth to the father, so in the same way, you please give me what you deem fit and what is best for me. This is the prayer that we should have to deity. And this is the mood that Prithu Maharaj had. Then we have Akruraji. Akruraji is famous for offering prayers. And his prayers are so powerful. When he came to Vrindavan, because he was sent to actually get the two boys, Krishna Balaram, to go back with him, he took on a terrible task. Because he knew that they were supposed to go back, because they were supposed to be killed by Kamsa. But Akrura did not think that way. He knew that the boys were the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in that mood, he started offering prayers as he was going to Vrindavan. Krishna book tells us that when he reached Vrindavan, he was so absorbed in the prayers of the Lord that immediately he bowed down in Vrindavan Dham and he rolled and rolled in ecstasy on the sand of Vrindavan, because it is where the Lord's lotus feet had touched. Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, this is the way to come to Vrindavan. Before we come to Vrindavan, we should have choice prayers glorifying Krishna. Nowadays, when we want to go to Vrindavan, air ticket, where's the bag, how much we are carrying, Loi Bazaar, all these things are in our heads. But actually, we should be coming remembering prayers. shlokas to glorify Krishna. And when we come there, don't overdo the ecstatic rolling in Vrindavan. Rather take the dust very submissively, put it on our heads, and go in to hear Sadhu Sangha. Go in to take Sadhu Sangha. Akuraji did that. And because he did that, when he was going to bring back the boys, and he stopped for a while to rest under the tree to take snan, when he went into the river, who did he see? He saw that very same Krishna Balaram, but this time as Anantasesh and Lord Vishnu. And through that he could come to understand the omnipotent power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada writes, he could do this because feelingly he was chanting prayers to Krishna. This is the effect of chanting prayers to Krishna. Akrura may be considered cruel to the gopis, but he is very magnanimous to us. His name means cruel, by the way, Akrura. But he is very kind to us because he shows us the perfection of existence. Hanumanji is next. He is actually the perfect servant of the Lord. Why? Because when we are servants, we want something. But Hanumanji, as a servant, he was thinking how fortunate he could be servant. Do any of your housemaids or any one of you, when you become servant to your employer, do you feel how lucky I am to have an employer like you? Most of the time we say, you're a hopeless employer. You should be paying me more. But see the mood of Hanumanji. Na janmanunam mahato na saubhagam na vaang na buddhi na kriti steshahetoho tairyad vishishya na pino vanaukashah chakarat sakye vata lakshmana grajaha. This is the mood of Hanumanji. He says, I have no high birth. I am a monkey. I don't look very handsome. How handsome can a monkey look? I don't have a proper bungalow or a house or a flat to call myself my own. I live in the forest. I can't speak. I only speak gibberish. And I certainly have no high parentage at all. I am not born Brahmana, I am a monkey. But despite all my disqualifications, you, my dear Lord, you are so kind that you have accepted me as a friend. Who can be kinder than this? This is Lord Hanumanji's prayer to Lord Ramchandra. And this is the mood of a servant. That he says, I am not qualified. And he submits to the Lord. Then you have Arjuna. Arjuna is the perfection of friendship. But the perfection of friendship is not Krishna's my friend. Why do I have to submit to him? Good friends don't submit to each other. But Prabhupada makes the distinction that you accept Krishna as friend. Not that you give Krishna friendship. Who are you to give Krishna friendship, Prabhupada says. But you accept the friendship of the Lord. That is the mood of a devotee. Lord, you are so kind that you are friendly to me. I don't deserve this, but you are still friendly to me. That is the mood that Arjuna exhibited in the first canto, after the leaving of Krishna. You know, in the many prayers in the 15th chapter and the 16th chapter, he prays, he says, I am the same Arjuna. I have the same Gandiva bow. I have the same chariot. I have the same horses. I am the same person. But after Krishna is gone, I have no strength to even shoot an arrow. And I could not even defend the wives, the princes, the queens of Dwarka from mere dacoits. This is the mood of a friend. Not that he thinks he is on par, but he always knows that Krishna is so kind that he has given him friendship. This is mood of devotee. Last but not least is Bali Maharaj. Because Bali Maharaj represents Atmanivedana. And Guru Maharaj ended the lecture by saying, in Atmanivedanam, you cannot approach this until you have really glorified Krishna. Only when your whole life becomes glorification of the Lord, then only you can surrender automatically body, mind and spirit. Up to then, it is not possible. Bali Maharaj may have been the king of the demons, but he was devotee number one. Why? Because when he realized that the Lord was actually not taking two small baby steps in the form of Vamandev, that he was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he then implored the Lord that I surrender all that I have to you. Because really, we demons, I have been foolish. I thought that I could keep everything. I thought that everything belonged to me. But as Prabhuji said yesterday, what belongs to us? There is nothing that belongs to us. So he could not give anything back for the third step also. So he decided finally, you just put your lotus feet on my rascal head, and in that way, I will gain purification. This is the mood of a devotee. Bhishma Dev also said the same thing. Iti matir upaka pita vitishna. He said, let me now invest in 1934 or 32, 34 I think. He said, let me now invest my thinking, my feeling, my willing at the lotus feet of the Lord. Let me now invest. This is our supreme investment, Prabhus and Matajis. Glorification of Krishna. If we miss this glorification, then the hearing process will become very dull. If we know we are hearing to glorify Krishna, and we always keep it in mind, then glorification of Krishna and the hearing will increase in the quality. Otherwise, that last offense comes, that we commit the sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. And when we do that, we become hypocritical. We become duplicitous. We are one person, but we are another. We behave like devotees in front, but actually, we are committing all these sins, and then we go back and say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And we come back, oh, we are cleansed already. Now next week, you know, Prabhu, the chanting of the holy name is so powerful. Read Ajamil story. We have license for the next 50 years, like Ajamil did, to do whatever nonsense we want. And at the end, just name your child Narayana, name your child Yashumati Nandan, name your child something just, you know, for investment. Because at the end, right, just shout out his name and it'll be alright. This is rascaldom. This is what Prabhupada says, this is rascaldom. This is cheating ourselves. Ajamil is very exalted. We can't even compare ourselves to Ajamil. We think we can, but we can't. He is an example for us here. But we should be very careful. Don't perform the devotional activities looking for a gain. When you look for a material gain, you will inevitably commit sin to achieve that gain. And when you commit sin to achieve that gain, you will again go back to the strength of the holy name. And when you keep doing that, it will become offensive. What is the solution? Krishna is so kind that the solution is in the same problem, so to speak. Keep chanting. But now chant on the basis of transcendental knowledge. Chant continuously. And the holy name is so powerful that by hearing the chanting, Krishna still gives us a route out of these offenses. But only on the basis of hearing process. So in conclusion, we must never forget why we are here. We are here to glorify Krishna. The moment we keep that in mind, all other problems related to devotional service and material life will go. That is a guarantee from the pages of Bhagavatam. Jai Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Shla Prabhupada ki. Jai Shla Gurudev ki. Itai Gomuna Premanandare. Any questions, any comments, Prabhus, Matajis? Please, Prabhuji.
Thanks for the wonderful class. I always hear and read also. But whatever, like today also I took many of your references. But my intention is always to use this verses for preaching. How to, this may be a very strong verse to convince somebody, something like that. If that mood is okay or...
If you want to use the verse to convince someone of devotional service, Toji, there is a very nice mood. Because you are convinced that this verse will convince somebody. You have faith. If you are not convinced this verse cannot convince someone, then you won't put any emphasis on the verse. So genuine compassion for the living entities by utilizing these wonderful verses of Krishna to actually try and convince them, that is real essence of devotional service. It's a nice point to me. But one thing I can share personally also is this, that in order for us to convince others of the potency of these verses, we have to become convinced ourselves. And if we become really convinced by studying the verses, you know, sometimes when we distribute books, we don't read the books we distribute. That becomes very sad, Prabhupada said. In the same way, if you want to speak about a verse, we should make sure that at least we know the verse, we have studied the verse, and we can share some realization of the verse. So what you're doing is perfectly fine too. If you are using it to impress everyone what a good preacher you are, then it is difficult. But if you want to genuinely convince someone of the effect of devotional service, that is wonderful. Thank you, Guruji.
Anything else, Guruji?
Hare Krishna Guruji, thank you very much. Prabhuji, as you said in this text today in your class, that one should not be feel sad that Krishna is not there physically with us, or Guru is not there physically with us, and take the shelter of hearing, reading, chanting and all these things. But even as like neophytes, when we are trying to read, chant or do kirtans and all, still we desire as human beings, like when girl loves boy loves a girl, if that girl is not there in front of her for a long time, there's a distance, then the love is lost in a while. So I mean materially. So in when we, as an effects, when we read, chant and hear also, still it's not easy to think that Krishna is there with us. How to train ourselves in that?
Your analogy of a boy and girl is very appropriate, Guruji. If a girl loves a boy, boy loves a girl, and after some time, you know, the boy or the girl goes overseas for studies and the boy is here, and after 1 year, 2 years, and they are very, first the separation is very heightened, you know, and they feel a keen sense of attachment to each other. But after a while, they decide that we should now, you know, start looking for other persons, because it may not be the case that we are together. Sometimes we think this way. Or absence doesn't make the heart really grow fonder. It makes the heart become sadder, or it makes it more distant, and then after a while, because of that physical distance, we lose touch with that person. That is true in the material world. But if that is really true in the material world, then it shows us one thing. It shows us that love in the first place was not genuine. If the love in the first place was genuine, then as they say, you know, then across the seven seas and the seven mountains and the seven rivers, you know, you will still wait for that beloved of yours. If you don't, then we must accept that love wasn't genuine. For Krishna, that also is applicable, Guruji. Because the truth of the matter is, you and I know we will never get to take darshan of Krishna the way he was 5,000 years ago in Vrindavan. That time is gone. Now all we can hope for now is sastras, because sastras are non-different from Krishna. We must also accept that the deities are non-different from Krishna. How to prolong this feeling of attachment to Krishna till the day we die is the key for us. And the way to prolong it is to really accept with faith that if we follow continuously to hear about Krishna, our attraction for Krishna will never go. The moment we stop hearing about Krishna continuously, the attraction for Krishna will gradually fade. And from the hearing, if we fix ourselves up into one or more of the different processes of devotional service, that engagement for the glorification of the Lord will ensure that we never feel that we are wanting in Krishna consciousness. This hankering for Krishna comes not because we don't have Krishna with us, but it comes because we want to do more and more to please Krishna and to please our spiritual masters. That hankering is good, Prabhu, because it means that we want to do more service and we want to think less of ourselves. When we have that hankering, that will push us more in devotional service. But if we say, I've tried so hard but now I can't see Krishna, let me go and see someone else. Then, because almost inevitably I find, it is because we have not been hearing about Krishna enough. And hearing can only come if we are fixed with reading Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. And fixed means if we study. Initially, when you get to know someone, the process is artificial, isn't it? When you go on all these marriage websites and all, you put your points, they put their points, and you get to know each other. But after you've known each other, then it becomes more natural. In the beginning also, theoretically we must accept that we are part and parcel of Krishna. But when we start studying Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, everything becomes very clear in our hearts, Prabhuji. And then the mood for enthusiastic devotional service will grow. That's why we urge all devotees, whatever we are doing, start tomorrow. Read Bhagavatam. How many of you have Bhagavatam, by the way? That's a lot of hands. That's wonderful. How many of us are studying Bhagavatam seriously? That is a sign of humility. But serious study requires us to really not keep Bhagavatam in the shelf, look at Bhagavatam and say, nice set of books. We can't do that. Now, more important than that, if you don't have Bhagavatam, how many of you don't have Bhagavatam? Maybe then I can see it. How many of you don't have Bhagavatam? Okay. Few of you don't have Bhagavatam. My humble request to you is, get Bhagavatam and start reading and studying Bhagavatam. Hand in hand with Bhagavad Gita. They are like two tracks on the railway track. Two tracks. You just study them and keep them with you. In the beginning, you may not study. My Guru Maharaj says, in the beginning, just carry Bhagavatam. Show everyone that you are studying. It's okay. Just walk around, keep Bhagavatam, look like you're studying. But eventually, Bhagavatam will take hold of you. And you'll have to open the pages and you have to study. So please do that. And for those of you who have Bhagavatam, you must think now, as Prabhuji said, who are the persons whom you know outside who will be able to benefit with Bhagavatam? Just like how you benefited, don't be stingy. Now share that benefit with others. Go and tell them about Bhagavatam. Better still, buy a Bhagavatam set and give it to them. It's not very expensive, you know. It's the best present you can give someone, and it will liberate them from the cycle of this terrible existence immediately. Prabhuji, so the way is to hear. That's what I understand from Vedic scriptures. Otherwise it is very difficult. And Krishna is so kind. The deity forms are so beautiful. Even a child can appreciate deities, Prabhupada said. Isn't it so? Even a child sees a deity, he knows this is so wonderful. So that way, somehow or another, keep ourselves engaged. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. My question is regarding when we chant, when we are hearing, we are remembering, and in our I could feel that it's for my purification, and we also are glorifying in a way. So, what is the real mood in which we should chant? Because all these things are simultaneous. So, yeah.
Prabhupada says that the real mood of chanting is found in the name and the meaning of the chant. The meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is that, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, Radha, please always engage me in your transcendental loving service. Why we want to be engaged in transcendental loving service? So that we please Krishna and we glorify Him. This is the mood of chanting. When we chant Krishna's names, always pray to Krishna as we chant in our hearts. Before you start chanting, after you chant, anytime, we should always bear in mind at the back of our heads that we are chanting not for anything other than to become proper receptacles, to serve the Lord, serve our Guru Maharaj, and most importantly, to glorify Krishna across the world, across the universe, wherever He wants to take us. In that mood when we chant, service will come automatically. If after nice chanting, someone comes up to you and says, Prabhu, can you help me come earlier and do this today? And you say, no, I'm very busy. Then of course, you know, you are negating the chanting. Because you chant on one hand asking for service, when service comes, you reject the service. That is very sad. So that's why in devotional service, Bhagavatam and chanting on one hand and duster in the other hand is very good. We must have nice physical seva because that keeps us active. And at the same time, it is based on the platform of hearing the holy name of the Lord. So if we chant that way, don't worry about purification too, because purification is a byproduct of chanting. It automatically comes. Whether you like it or not, it will come. Whether you resist it or not, it is coming. It is like a soap, you know. Nobody takes a bath by bathing the soap first. Nobody. You take a bath by using the soap because you know soap is soap. It's self-cleansing. So Krishna, He cleanses us automatically. What we want is to somehow be His servant in His service, to glorify Him, not to glorify us. That will help our chanting project. Maybe one last point, then we can...
Just one question, Prabhu. You brought up a point stating that whoever speaks, glorifies Krishna with sincerity, then we should submissively hear. But sometimes we find that because we are not self-situated, we are not self-satisfied, we need variety. So in that sense, we look to certain devotees. That means to say, like bluntly put, if a particular devotee inspires us and when he's around, we gather for programs, we hear, we chant very nicely, but when that devotee who's inspiring us is not around, then we slight and we refuse to hear from others who are also speaking Prabhupada. So in that sense, how do we balance this up? Is this correct to just go for the devotee who's inspiring us, or to actually carry on in the sense, because of our inability, somebody may not be inspiring us so much. He's just repeating Prabhupada, but not in a way that suits us or in a way that inspires us. So how do we carry on with devotional service, even though physical presence of that particular devotee, not say spiritual master, but a person who inspires us compared to a person we feel who does not inspire us?
In 3.29.39 of Srimad Bhagavatam, the word inspiration is used. It is the only verse in the whole of Bhagavatam where the word inspiration occurs. There, Krishna says, Na chasya kaschit kalito, na dvesha nashabandavaha, a visati a pramattav asau, pramattam janam antakrit. There, the verse is very useful for this point. There, Kapila Muni, Kapila Dev says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not friendly nor inimical with anyone. He has no friends and he has no enemies. No one is dear to him, no one is not dear to him. But those who remember him, he gives them the inspiration to come to him. And those who forget him, he gives them the death. So this verse is applicable here, Prabhu, because the only one who can inspire us is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He inspires us from the depth of heart as Paramatma. And he inspires us through the agency of all sincere devotees. If we really accept the premise that except for us, everyone is greater and purer as a devotee, then it will be very nice for our devotional service if we sit down to hear anyone and everyone who is speaking bona fide from the pages of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and extract from them, as they are saying, what is the practical points, and purify ourselves by hearing. As Prabhuji mentioned very nicely yesterday, that I may be a complete dud when I'm speaking Bhagavatam, but if the hearer has the proper receptive mood to accept submissively the message of Bhagavatam, then even 5% of the class, if it's accepted and put into practice, becomes invaluable. But if we become Parikshits and we examine, oh, this devotee is here and inspired, that devotee is taking class, don't want to come. This means we are coming actually for subtle sense gratification. Because we want to satisfy ourselves. Oh, this is nice. This will inspire me. But we don't have the conviction that anything to do with devotional service actually is inspiring. Because Krishna writes in 3.29.39, this is Sastric, that anyone who remembers him will be inspired. So if we remember, if we are sitting and hearing someone who is remembering Krishna, we will become inspired. What stops us? Our concoctions. These concoctions mentioned in the purport is the real impediment to our devotional service. When we start concocting, I need a personality there. Man, the only personality we need is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That we have. And we have Prabhupada and all the Acharyas. You may be inspired by a guru. That inspiration is different because guru, first of all, is there to instruct you in the science of devotional service. Not only are you first inspired, but after that you become completely submissive. But I suspect that you're speaking of a situation where all of us are concerned, where sometimes we pick and choose, where we think that someone is more inspiring than others. But the real mood of a devotee is that in any situation, we should hear and forget the speaker, but hear what is being said. It is the message that matters. How the how what voice or in which way it comes out is not relevant. Guru Maharaj is very particular about this point. He said that he survived many years of being alone in old age because of this. The day will come when you can't attend the programs. When you're old, you're invalid, you are only within the four walls of your house. At that point of time, who is going to inspire you? Who's going to come and pick you up? People have their own lives to lead. They need to do their own things. Will we sit there and rot at that point? So this is the point Guru Maharaj said, that from the start now, look to every devotee as a great devotee and learn from that devotee. And when you have really, really learned from each and every devotee about devotional service, when you sit down with Bhagavatam, Krishna becomes pleased because you have treated the devotees in a pleasing fashion. Then he reveals Bhagavatam to you. That is how we can sit with devotional service alone, without devotee association when the need arises, and still be self-situated in devotional service. Because after all, at the end of your life, you have to clap your own wings. No one is going to follow you through that event. Prabhupada says, for all the whole flight of birds to fly well, each bird must flap its own wings. You cannot flap my wings, I certainly can't flap your wings. I don't even know where your wings are. So in that way, we are no use to each other in one way. But if we inspire each other to remember Krishna, and we forget who is speaking, and how he is speaking, and what is his delivery, he is very slow, he puts me to sleep, but if you hear the message, just the message, and cut off the speaker from the message, Guru Maharaj says, you will benefit. You will benefit. This is how you can take water from stone, it is said. Water can be taken from stone, provided you hear. Thank you, Guru. I think we should stop now. Sorry we have taken some time, but Prabhu's Mataji, if we are on a high with Bhagavatam at the moment, then please, there are about 9 or 10 sets of Bhagavatam still available with us. This is not a sales pitch. I see Pushpa Gopal looking at everyone, but please, if we really want to succeed in Bhagavatam, if we really want to succeed in devotional service, get a set of Bhagavatam.